I don't know why it matters, but it does. Sun's a little brighter when you win. They got all the sunshine they need in Florida anyway, so we'll steal some. Good morning. If you're visiting with us online, if you're in the room new for the first time, welcome. It's an honor that you would choose to come hang out with us. If you need anything, you find somebody with a "I'm here to help" sticker and their name on it, and they will certainly help you. I want to add a couple of things to what Lauren said. Thank you guys for your generosity. They were telling me last night all the candy they had, all the candy we got away, candy we got left over that we're going to be able to bless our own kids and do some things in the future with. And for all of you guys who came and served last night, it just does me well. Sometimes during events like last night, I'll just kind of stand back and kind of stand off to the side and just kind of watch. And it's kind of that maybe proud papa moment, like, not proud as in arrogance, but just proud as just watching people going and serving people and loving people and watching people who maybe were a little hesitant to see this, you know, church tent and come up to it. And even though they were giving them something, just watching you love and participate and draw them in, it's just an awesome thing to see. And it makes me proud to God chose me to be a part of such a great body. I'm also on next Sunday, if you haven't yet, if you just want to come check us out. Next Sunday after church, like Lauren said, we'll be doing step one. And if you just want to come see what we're about, just say hello to me. Come get a free lunch. We'll be there. It's just about an hour. And I encourage you to do that, even if you don't sign up. We prefer you sign up, but if you don't, come on anyway. We'll be over next door in the family building, and somebody will be over there to direct you. And then lastly, the promo you saw, one of our most popular series is our At the Movie series. If you don't know what that is, we take modern day movies and we pull truth with a capital T, not Hollywood's truth, but God's truth. And we pull those out of the movies and we use them to teach on a subject. We're going to be doing two Sundays this year. That will be on the 28th and whatever the first Sunday in December is. I can't remember the actual date, but it's those two Sundays, the last Sunday in November, the first Sunday in December. And I'm telling you now, and the reason we're promoting it now, is because it's a great opportunity for you to invite somebody. You can simply tell them, hey, come meet me at church. If you've been here before, you know we have the foyer set up like a place in the theater where you get a serve counter and you get, somebody help me, what's it called? Concession, thank you. I was thinking condiments, but they're not condiments. You don't concession. Anyway, we'll have popcorn, candy, and Cokes, and for you to come in, and we're going to be just a good time for you to bring somebody who maybe is a little apprehensive about coming in. Just invite them to come see a movie, and we're going to put some stuff on social media coming up where you can screenshot it and send it to them, and just know that's coming. We're in the middle, actually we're in the next to last. Next week will be our last part of this series we're in the middle of now called You Asked For It. Week two, this week, is number two on the list. It's one that's in the top 10 every year. And I think it makes the top 10 every year because there's something God put in us that we want to accomplish something in our lives. And we kind of attribute that to God to say, well, that's what God wants me to do. And but we also have this fear that I'll miss the will of God. Like God has some plan for me to go do this or say this or big picture. And we'll get to the end of our lives and look back and think, well, I've missed it. And God puts that in us, I think, innate in us because it's part of who we are. If you look in your Bibles on your phone or your app or whatever you're going to be reading in, look at James chapter 4, verse 13. The Bible says, James says, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. Nobody really knows. Tomorrow, the Braves could be World Series champions. Or they could have to play again. I know what we hope for. I know what we're cheering for. But the bottom line is, we don't know. It goes on to say, what is your life? And I think we lose track of this. Because when you look at somebody's life, if you've known anybody and had the privilege, really, of talking to anybody who's maybe like 100 years old. And in our minds, that's a long time. But the Bible says, what is your life? Actually, our lives, our time here on earth, the Bible says it's but a vapor, a wisp. In comparison to eternity. You're here for a little while, then you vanish. In verse 15, it says, instead, you should say, God, if it's your will, we will live and we'll do this or that. In other words, God, you tell us what we're supposed to do and we'll do it. You see, another topic that when we talk about this, I've said this in some previous topics, it's going to require us to be honest with ourselves about what motivates us, why we actually are doing what we're doing, what's the reasoning behind it. Because what we want in our minds, what we really do is we say, okay, God, what's your will? Unfortunately, what a lot of us are asking is, God, will your will, will the will of God fit in my box? Because I got everything all laid out, God, and this is how I want it to work, so I'll be glad to do this for you, but I need your will to fit in my box. I don't know about you, but when I really think about that, I don't want a God that fits in my box. Because if God fits in my box, then we're in a world of hurt, because my box is real small. God, on the other hand, says, I've got something even bigger for you, but you're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to follow me and listen. See, we try to fit God's eternal will, because God's thinking, we think from the time I'm born till whenever I kick the bucket or Jesus comes. God's thinking from beginning when he created the earth forever and eternity. And we're trying to fit eternity down into this little box that is our lives. Look what the Bible says, and this is in 1 John 2. It says, the world and its desires are going to pass away. But the will of God, and whoever does that will, is going to go on forever. You see, we worry about things I call the stuff questions. We worry about the everyday things of life. The me question. And I know God cares about these things, but it doesn't change the fact that they go away. The things of life, you can't, you know, you hear all the old preacher jokes about you don't see the U-Hauls and the trailers on the way to the graveyard because you can't take it with you. And we live, though, like if I hold on to it, I can take it with me. But I really think we mark this survey, and the reason it was number two of the several hundred of you that responded to the survey is because we really want to know what the will of God is. There's something in us that wants to get it done. And I want to be able to help you today with that question. But, you know, the truth of the matter is our lives are just groups of questions. Now, when you're little, it's, you know, do I eat the green crayon or the brown crayon, right? As you get older, it's what video game do I play? Do I do my homework? Do I take out the trash and be obedient? Do I say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am? You know, those are the things growing up. Then you get into the high school, and people start telling you, what are you going to do the rest of your life? You got to decide. Are you going to college? What are you going to do? Are you going to trade school? Are you going to get a job right out of high school? What are you going to do? And they put all this pressure on us from a child making a decision as a little child to a high schooler trying to decide college and what's ahead. Then we decide the big question. What's the big one? Do I marry this person? Right? And Lord knows we need some help with that one, because we walk in and we see somebody and go, I'm going to get married. And we didn't even ask God. Anybody got married and didn't ask God? No, don't answer that question. I'm afraid somebody's going to raise your hand. Don't look at the person next to you and say, yeah, I did. You see, it's just a series of questions. But the Bible does tell us, and I didn't give you this verse on the screen, but it tells us in one place that God says, hey, my sheep not only know me, they know my voice. They know that voice like most of us do when an authority figure or your mom or dad or grandma speaks. You listen. You recognize it. And the Bible says that we'll know that with him. So how do we figure out God's will? Well, the truth of the matter is there's a lot of bad methods. I've heard some pastors over the years, and I just want to stand up and go, stop. Please don't teach that. Please, you know, or come up, don't do that. Because there's some really bad methods. You know, I think sometimes we even put, there's a story in the Bible, and you can look at it later, where they put down a fleece, they put down a blanket, and they say if it's wet on the blanket, not wet on the ground, and it goes back and forth, trying to figure out what God wants. But see, we don't need to do that, because the Bible says that we have the Holy Spirit. We have God speaking directly to us. Some people will do this. Now, admit, have you ever done this? okay, God, I really need to know whether I'm going to this college or take this job or this job. When I walk out the door, if I see a red car, then that means go. If I see a blue car, then that means, you know, that's just a bad way to do it. I heard a story about a guy who, this is funny. I'm funny and I'm laughing in my head, so if you don't laugh, I'm good. He asked God for two scriptures, and then he did the method, the flip and point method. Anybody ever done that? Now, for you young people, we used to have these Bibles, and they're made of paper, and it's lots of pages. You can't really do it on your phone, but they had this flip method, and he flipped the Bible, and then he put his finger down, and that was the word of the Lord for him. Don't do that, because this is what he actually did. He actually said, he flipped it and got this. He got this scripture, 1 Chronicles 19:4. It says, so Han seized David's envoys, shaved them, cut off their garments at the buttocks, and sent them away. I'd be like, scripture one. So he flips it again. Scripture two. And then he got Luke chapter 10. The expert in the law required one had, I skipped it. That's not even the right verse. See, it doesn't work. No, it does. See, go down to the beginning. I just didn't cut it off. Jesus told him, do what? So he flips open the scripture and gets one about cutting people's coats off at the buttocks and then sending them off. And then he flips and gets this one. Jesus told them, go and do likewise. See, this method doesn't work, and it doesn't even work in my own demonstration. The Bible said we're not built for that. We're built to have this conversation with God that he will tell us his will. You see, then you ask this question about God's will. So, and ask yourself this question, and I'm going to tell you the answer in a minute. Is God's will broad? In other words, as long as we just land in this great field somewhere between here and here, I'm good. Is that how God does his will? Or is it narrow and exact? Like if I don't land in this one spot, then the world will unravel. Like if I married the wrong person and God's will is narrow, what does that mean? I mean, somebody else is out of luck. And this ripple through time, you know, the world falls apart because God's will is narrow and exact. You see, that's not how it is. I'm going to give you this example. If you're not a golfer, which I'm not, but I understand the golf course. Think of it like a golf course hole. On a golf course, when you hit the ball off the tee, where should you land? Well, eventually in the hole, but for those of us who aren't Tiger Woods, hopefully in the what? The fairway, right? The short grass. That's where you want to land. Then on either side, you have what they call the rough. And different courses, there's different levels of rough. And some courses, there's water on one side and trees on the other. But it's outside the fairway. It kind of frames you in. You see, the frame is supposed to encourage you, hey, hit it where? In the fairway. Why? Because is your second shot going to be easy or harder? It's going to be a lot easier. At least it should be. You hit it into the fairway, into the middle. It's also going to be this. If I hit the ball into the rough, into high grass, or I hit it into the middle, into the fairway, which ball is easier to find? The one in the fairway. So God gives us, I believe, this boundary. It says land here because your next step's going to be a whole lot easier to find if it lands in the middle. The frame is supposed to guide us. And I think what God in life uses, on one side, you have what is called the sovereign will of God. The sovereign will of God is what God is doing on the earth. What's he doing now on the earth? The question is that we need to answer is what I'm doing, does it go along with that? Am I cooperating with? Because the truth of the matter is, and the truth of the next ones I'm going to tell you too, God's will, personal will for your life, will never be outside of these boundaries. It will never be outside of what God's doing on the earth. Jesus even taught us to pray. Remember when Jesus says the Lord's Prayer, which is actually not a prayer, but it's actually guidelines for how to pray. He says, God, that thy will be done, not my will. So framing one side, you have the sovereign will of God. And on the other side is what is called the moral will of God. The moral will of God is what God has already said in his word. It's what he's already told us. It's what God thinks about things. The Bible's very clear about God's moral will, his thoughts on a given subject. The Bible's very specific. One thing that I was talking with the other day with somebody is somebody who's a widow, and a widow that has no family, just one person, nobody to take care of them. The Bible's very clear for widows and orphans that we are obligated as a church to do everything we can for them. So it's very clear about what God's moral will is. Is what you're doing in his sovereign will, and it is within the boundaries of his moral will. And again, the Bible's very clear about this. It's important because, again, what God's will for your life is never going to contradict his moral will. He's never going to say, well, in this case, it's okay if you, and then do something that we know the Bible says that God is not for. That's not okay. God's not going to go outside of that. And then somewhere in the middle, in the fairway, is what we call the personal will of God. And this is what God desires for my life. And again, it's a whole lot easier for us to find it if we do what? We hit the ball in the fairway. If you're just learning God and you're figuring this out, you're doing good today if you're here. Why? Because you're in the fairway. The Bible says, hey, don't forsake the assemblings of yourself together. So you're in the right place. We know what God's doing on the earth. His sovereign will is that we want him, people here, and he wants us here. His moral will says, now, you need to be gathering together. So we're in the right place. But here's the truth for all of us. You will not find, and this is not a happy note, but it's just truth. For obviously a lot of us, we're searching for God's will in our lives in a particular area. If you're not in the fairway, you are not going to find it. I expected maybe an amen there, but okay. I'll be all right. Because here's what the truth is. The more I know the sovereign and the moral will of God, the better I'll be able to discern his personal will. So when I'm dealing with a subject, if I know what God is doing on the earth and I know what the Bible tells me his moral will is, and I'm shooting in the middle, then I'm going to be a whole lot more likely to figure out and to hear his voice on what he has for me. Now, for a practical side, what I want to do in the next 15 minutes or so is I want to give you a series of questions. But you have to make me a promise. Can you do that? This is yes. This is no. This is touchdown. Y'all with me? All right. Can you make me a promise? Okay. You can't pick and choose. Six things I'm going to give you. We'll call it a filter. That if you're praying through a decision in your life and you're asking God, I need some direction. I want to know what you want me to do. This will help you. But you can't just throw them out there, answer them, and then go, I'll take this one and this one. Why? Because your flesh is going to force you to kind of pick the one that you want most or that you think is right. So you can't go outside and just pick and choose. But it will help you make a decision and find what is God's will for you. The Bible says in 1 John 4 that it says, dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. And I know this is the capital S. In other words, don't believe everybody that walks into your life and says, God told me, and then tells you something. Now, can it happen? Certainly. Has it happened in my life? Quite a bit. God does that. He'll send somebody to you and go, hey, I was praying for you, and what do you think about? And then they share something with you that you're already praying about, and it kind of confirms what you're already feeling. God will do that. But look what he goes on to say. He says, you must test them to see if the spirit they have, notice it's a little s there. They may not have the spirit of God. They may be trying to manipulate you. The devil may be trying to throw you off. Comes from God, for there are many false prophets in the world. Everything bright and shiny is not God. Everything that has bigger tires, bigger engine, and makes more noise is cool, and we all want it, but it might not be God. The grass that's greener on the other side of the road is greener because they water it more and they pay a larger water bill. But it doesn't mean you need to go over there. It doesn't mean that somebody else in your life that maybe is trying to fit themselves in a place where you're struggling maybe in your marriage, doesn't mean they're there to help. The guy with the muscles or the girl that walks in and has the sweet voice and speaks to you may not be there for good cause. But a lot of times if we're not careful, we say, oh, that must be God. I was praying for somebody to talk to and this person just walked right into the office today. That must be God. I'm like, no, it may not be. Because the question you have to ask is, does it line up with God? Are we landing in the fairway? And we make, you know, we kind of jest about the female walking into the office or the man walking in the office and going, ooh. And we joke about it, but is the decision I'm about to make going to land me in the fairway, or am I going to hit it way out in the rough? And it's really going to be a mess because I'm outside of these boundaries that God has set for my life. Now, I don't know about you. In the world, when we talk about boundaries, people start thumbing their nose and like, you can't tell me what to do. You can't tell me I can't do here. I can't go here. I don't see it as binding or restrictive. I see it as freedom. God tells me, hey, this is where I want you to play. Play between these. Because you do, it's going to keep you safe. You're going to hear me. You're going to hang out with me. And I'm going to bless you. And I know what the boundaries are. But when we can just do whatever we want, then anything can become the will of God because we decide it is. So you can ask yourself these questions. Again, don't pick and choose. They all work together. And the first one is, am I in a right relationship with God? For some of you, either online or in the room, you're asking the question, I don't really know what that is. See, God didn't create us just to have us as some loyal subject he could just move and play with and move us around and make us do stuff. The Bible says that God desired relationship. And the only way that we can have relationship, an imperfect person has a relationship with a perfect God, the Bible says, is when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And it's no more complicated than that. So don't let it be. For those of you who are saved, and have been saved for more than 15 minutes, we all know that our lives sometimes can go astray. So I may be saved, but is God in the right position? Is he my priority? Are other things pushing God down to second, third, fourth, fifth? Is it a hobby? Is it a marriage issue? Is it a kid issue? Other things pushing God out of the way? So is my relationship right? Paul writes in Romans 12:2, he says that let God transform you into a new person by changing something. What is it? The way you look? No. What is he changing? The way you think. And one of the things he changes is changes from thinking earthly, my time is only here on the earth and then it's just done, to thinking I'm here on the earth just for a little while. I've got something to do that I can do for God. And then I get to go spend eternity with him. Then he says, then you'll learn. When you change the way you think, when you decide to hit the ball in the fairway, now the Bible says, then you're going to figure out what God's will is. And that will is good and pleasing and perfect. In other words, it's going to go well for everybody when you hit it in the fairway. But notice it says then. Once the relationship is right, then you learn. Some people are trying, and I've met people, I just want to know what God wants me to do. Well, do you know him? Well, yeah, I know who God is. No, do you know him? Like, have you let Jesus, who paid for your sins, into your life? I'm not asking you to be perfect, but have you just let him in? Well, no, I really want to figure out what he wants me to do first. It doesn't work that way. He doesn't give it to you first. He gives it to you after the Bible says when your relationship is right. A second thing. What does the Bible say? Now, I'm going to encourage you in this. If you don't have a version of the Bible that you read regularly, find one. There are a lot out there. Some, not so good. Some the world's gotten a hold of and they try to change things that are just God truth. But versions that we use here, that the New Living Translation, the NIV, some of those newer versions that are easier to read, find one. And begin to figure out what God's sovereign will and what his moral will are. His moral will is what the Bible tells us. And again, there's a lot in the Bible that the world wants to tell us is not wrong. The Bible says it is wrong. Or wants to convince us I was told this one the other day, that tithing is a lie that the church teaches just so it can take your money. No, it's not. It's in the Bible from cover to cover, and we're going to talk about it soon. Not because we need your money, because we get supplied by God, but again, y'all's generosity is such that we're doing well. Matter of fact, we're doing better than we ever have in the history of the church. Good. And it all started with relationship. Finding out, okay, here's where God wants me to land in concerns with tithing and my money. This is a fair way. Okay, now God, what's your will for me? Hey, let me teach you about tithing. Let me teach you about giving. See, I'm convinced God's going to take care of us regardless. But I think if church in the capital C across the world was doing what it was supposed to be, again, I said this the other day, we wouldn't need the government. We wouldn't need somebody else taking care of people. We could do it as the church because it would be that abundant. His will for you is never to be external to the Bible. Had a guy come in. This is the honest to God truth. It's been years ago, so don't try to figure out who it is. A guy came to me and said, I feel like I'm called to ministry. Cool. Well, let's pray this out. Let's walk this out. Came back the next week or 2 weeks later. And says, Clint, I still feel like I'm called to ministry, but I met this girl. And he said, I feel like God wants me, because my wife doesn't think I need to be in ministry. I want to be in ministry. And this girl I met says I need to be in ministry. Therefore, his deduction was what? Divorce my wife and go with the new girl because she says I need to be in ministry. And he says, I feel like that's what the Spirit of God, what God is telling me to do. I said, I told him, I was honest. I said, man, there's some spirit telling you, but it ain't the Spirit of God. And you ain't thinking with your brains. I said, that's not, you can't say I'm called, which you could be, and then say, God wants me to divorce my wife. He's never going to tell you to do something that's against what he says in the Bible to go do something that you said that he's called you to do. Yet we do it all the time. It's called justification. We try to justify and bend scripture or use parts of scripture to make it fit what we feel like is God's word for our lives. But the Bible doesn't change. Luke 21:33 says that heaven and earth is going to disappear. But God's word is never going to change. So we can't bend it to make it be what we want so that we can do what we want. And quite frankly, sadly, we do that a lot. We take a subject and we either don't go to the Bible, we go to somebody else or the internet that tells us what it thinks the Bible says. And we just get lost because we're not asking God what the Bible says. We're trying to find what we want and then fit it in to the Bible. All through Scripture, all through the Bible, the devil, who knows the Bible, would quote Scripture and misquote it. Did you guys remember if you remember the story maybe from Sunday school, when the Bible says Jesus was tempted? Who tempted Jesus? The devil. And what did he tempt him with? He used Scripture. He told Jesus, hey, your word says if you'll just do this, then God will send the angels down to protect you. Your word says, and he quotes Scripture, but he was taking them out of context, trying to get Jesus to go against God's will, to go against what God had to say. The third one, and this is not the corny bracelet, is what would Jesus do? Now, I almost didn't use it, but it's what I wanted to say, so I'm not going to let the world kind of twist it. It started out as a great thing. I don't know who came up with it, but then it started on bracelets and it was on bumper stickers and billboards. And you ever notice we asked the question, but did anybody ever answer it? Did you ever hear, you're talking to somebody and go, I'm struggling with this decision. I don't know what to do. I'm in this tough place. And they go, well, what would Jesus do? But nobody ever says, what would Jesus do? And then they tell you. They just leave it out there as this nebulous thing that we're supposed to just do what you feel. Well, doing what you feel is not always the right thing. Why? Because your feelings will lie to you. And we say, oh, no, I was looking at a man who knew God, loved God, and was convinced that the only way he was going to find God's will for his life was to divorce his wife and marry this woman, who, by the way, had been married like 8 or 9 times. And he kept saying, well, she's good for me. I'm like, she's good. She's good at talking you into right off the cliff. But we'd answer, you know, if just answering the question. And I wish I could bring him back now. We'd say, okay, answer this question. According to what you're telling me, what would Jesus do? And nobody that knows anything about God and anything about his word would go, well, yeah, I think that'll be okay. Now, will he forgive you if you mess up? Yes. Will he restore you? Yes. Will there be earthly consequences for your mess? Yes. Does it change the way he loves you? No. But what would Jesus do? Are you in a right relationship? What does the Bible say? And what would Jesus do? See, we use it to cover up, I think, what God wants us to do. The Bible says, James writes this in James 3. He says, hey, if you're struggling with jealousy, if you got selfish ambition in your heart, don't try to cover it up with the truth. Or cover up the truth with boasting and lying. You're just going to make it worse. And he goes on to say, for jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Same thing I was telling this guy. You may think it's wisdom, but that's not God's wisdom. That's not even anywhere. It's not even on his golf course. You can't put that on God. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. But look at the results when James says, if you do this stuff, look what you find in your life. For wherever there's jealousy and selfish ambition, you find disorder and evil of what? Every kind. Not just some kind, every kind. You see, a lot of us wonder why our lives are in such chaos. It's because we're trying to cover the truth of our hurt, our ambition, our selfishness, and make it look godly, and our lives are just in complete chaos. See, the Bible tells us that when you walk away from the Spirit of God or you try to go against it, the Bible says, hey, there's going to be chaos and disorder. Matter of fact, this is not in my notes, but I'll give you this one. This is where I believe a lot of people say, people talk about having, I have a disease. You know where that word comes from? Dis-ease. There are a lot of people, I think, that their lives are so out of chaos, so in chaos, it's come down to even their physical bodies. And it results and manifests itself in things that are out of whack in their bodies. The Bible goes on and in James verse 17, it says, but the wisdom from above is pure. It's also peace, loving, gentle at all times. Well, willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy. And I highlighted this behind me. And the fruit. The Bible uses this word a lot when you begin to look at it through the New Testament. Fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. So you ask the question, does it carry the spirit and the attitude of Jesus? In the example I gave you, the guy wanting to leave his wife to go into ministry, the answer all across the board is no. Like screaming red flag, flashing lights, no. But see, when the Bible says in James, it is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. Talking about the wisdom of God, the direction of God, the will of God for your life. It's not going to be made up of disorder. So if things are in disorder and there is no peace, if anything, hear me today, that's when you back up and go, okay, God, something's not right. Because the Bible is very clear. He's not a God of that. He's not a God that has that lack of peace and the chaos. The fourth one, and I have to be careful with this one. And it is the question, the filter is, have I sought godly counsel? Now, just like everything bright and shiny doesn't mean it's God, any person that can sound godly doesn't mean they're what? Godly. There are a lot of people, a lot of sadly churches that lead people astray because they say it right, they present it the right way. One thing I'm very grateful for is I have two overseers in my life that, and even my the trustees, you guys here and here locally, that if I start talking crazy, somebody's going to call me on it. Somebody's going to say, hey, that's not what the Bible says. And challenge me. Because I've put godly counsel in my life. People over your life need to have fruit in their lives that says, that confirms their lives. Amen. Now, I go back to my example again. Is this, in this case, it was a female, not always. Is this female who's been married 8-9 times the expert you want to call in to give you wisdom on getting married or divorced? No. Right? No. Why? Because there's no fruit. The fruit that is in their life screams, I don't know what I'm doing. Do you want to get in the airplane with a pilot who said, I just crashed a few times? Or the pilot that says, I've been flying for 30 years and never even been close. Which pilot do you want to get in with? Who do you want to teach you to fly? Just because the guy who's crashed a few times is cheaper doesn't mean he's a good choice, right? Yet we do that. We put people in our lives. We get in a pickle, or the world begins to squeeze us. And I'm having an issue in my marriage, and my wife and I can't work this out. And what do we do? We call our friend who's been married 5 times. It doesn't make sense. So ask yourself, do I have godly counsel and have I sought their opinion? And let me give you a free one, okay? This one's free, no charge. We'll add it into the notes later. When you do have somebody like that in your lives, and I'm telling you this from experience, both on giving and receiving, and you have a desire or a need, a desire to make a decision, you need God to lead you, don't walk into the conversation going, this is what God told me. Because I can't argue with that. I can tell you, like this man did, you think God told you that, and I can't change that. I can tell you, this is what the Bible says. But when you walk in seeking godly counsel and said, well, I'm just going to tell you what God told me to do, and then you decide. Well, no, that's not how this works. Godly counsel is walking in and being willing to be what? Wrong. We don't like to be wrong, but I question in my own life, I have to ask myself, when I go and talk to Kenny Large, or I go talk to Jay Coleman, or some other pastors and people that are over my life, or my trustees, and they tell me, you're wrong, if I'm not okay with that, then I don't really think I'm seeking godly counsel. But are those people, do those men or women or friends, they have godly fruit in their lives that says that I am that? It confirms that. Again, it's the pilot that's in a cast, a broken arm and a broken leg, or the pilot that's not. Which one do you want to choose? Not the guy in the cast. It doesn't really matter why. What is the wisdom? The wisdom is finally godly counsel that has fruit in their lives. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11 that without leadership or without, there's another version here. It says, for lack of guidance, a nation falls, and there is safety in having what? Many advisors. Godly advisors, but having people help you. In Matthew, if you want to know what I base this on, I'll give you the verse here. In Matthew chapter 7, it says, you can identify them by their fruit, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from a thorn bush or figs from thistles? In verse 17, a good tree produces what? Good fruit. Which one do you want to take counsel from? Good fruit, bad fruit? It's not rocket science, but it should be in our filter. The fifth thing, do I sense God's peace? And let me say right here real quick, this is why I tell you, you can't just pick one. Because what we do is we pick this one and go, yeah, I have peace about it. Well, of course you do. It was your idea. Yeah, I want to do this, and here's why I want to do this. I have peace about it. I didn't ask if it's your peace. Do you have God's peace? Because you could be wrong, and the peace you feel could be your flesh telling you that this is a good decision when it's not. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace." So again, if life is in chaos, then you might want to back up and see where your decisions have taken you, because that's not God. And the last one, and ushers and band, you guys can come do your thing, is this. And you have to answer this question honestly, or it doesn't work. Is it my will, or is it God's will? Do I want this to happen, and I'm going to do whatever it takes because I want it? Or am I going to do whatever it takes because it's what he wants? Whether I like it or not, because he's in charge, because I've given life to him. Has his will become yours? Or again, are you just trying to see if God's will can fit in my box? And then we cut out, God, I will do this, God, but I'm going to cut this part off because it just won't fit in my box. It's not how it should work. It's not what the Bible teaches us. We're going to close with this scripture. Matthew chapter 26. This is Jesus going to pray. He left the disciples and the Bible says he went and prayed and he sweat blood. It says he went on a little further and bowed with his face to the ground, praying. This is Jesus talking. My Father, he's about to go to the cross now. If it's possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. In other words, God, if there's another way to do this, please do this. And then he has this word, yet. And this is where I think a lot of us need today to give God this word. God, if there's another way to do this, tell me. But if not, then we need to say to God today, yet. I want your will to be done, not mine. That's the way you conclude the process with God. You go through these five things. You get to the last one and you go, God, the bottom line is, I don't need my will, I need yours. Because you need to be able to say this. We need to get to a place where you can say, I want what he wants. I don't know. I don't understand all of the ins and outs of what's going on, but I just know I want what he wants. And this is how I get there. For a lot of you, this is what we call one step. This is why it's on everywhere you see for us. It's one step from where you are, one step closer to where God wants you to be. Where does he want you to be? He wants you to be in his will. He wants you to be in the fairway. I don't know who you are. I just felt this as I was kind of praying about this week and thinking about service today. But there's some of you probably felt like I have before, that you're tired of playing your next shot from the rough. You're tired of everything. Every shot I hit off the tee, I hit it in the rough. I hit it in the rough, I hit it in the rough. Eventually, I get it in the hole, and then I go to the next hole. Then I hit it in the rough, hit it in the rough, hit it in the rough. And then I just never seems to go smooth for me. Well, I can tell you why. It's because you're living out your will instead of going, okay, God, I'm going to land in the fairway. What does your word say about giving? What does your word say about being in church? What does your word say about grow groups? What does your say about marriage? I'm laying in the fairway. I don't understand this whole marriage thing, but I know your word says that this is how it's supposed to work, and I'm going to land here. You'll begin to see the peace come and the disorder leave when you just land in the fairway. And some of you need to start that this morning with just that right relationship. So if you'll bow your head and close your eyes real quick, I just want to ask, and then we're going to sing one more song on our way out. We ask this every week. Have you started the right relationship? It's not complicated. You don't have to know all the details of the Bible. The Bible simply says you just have to believe that Jesus came and paid a price that you couldn't pay, and that you need to receive it. The Bible says confess it with your mouth and believe it in your heart. And if that's you this morning, a simple prayer like this, if you're online watching a simple prayer like this, God, I thank you for Jesus. Sorry I've messed it up so bad. I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord, my Savior. God, help me take my one step closer, another step closer. simple prayer like that, and the Bible says that your eternity is secure. Now your life is not about eternity apart of him. Your life is now about eternity with him. And we can begin to hit the ball on the fairway. Learn what his sovereign will is. Learn what his moral will, what the Bible says. And then in the middle, we begin to walk in his personal will for us, which I guarantee you, it's better than you ever dreamed. No matter how good you think life is now, it will be that much better walking in his personal will for your life. Amen? Amen. Why don't you stand with me if you would? If you prayed that, hey, grab a Connect card in front of you in the seats. Again, you can do the same thing on the QR code, or you can go to your new handy-dandy church app and fill it in there. We just want to send you some next steps. Also, don't leave today. If you've got something we could pray with you about, we would love to do that. Over to my right, your left, or always have a group over here that's willing to take a few minutes and just pray with you. All you have to do is tell them as much or as little as you want. And even maybe today, maybe you're making a decision, hey, to take a job, to not take a job, to buy a house, to sell a house, to do whatever. Whatever you're facing, have somebody pray with you. Go and let God speak to you. And that's a great place to go do it. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, let's pray and then we're going to sing. God, I thank you today. I thank you that your will for us is not a mystery that we can't solve. It's not something we can't know. We just have to ask. God, today, help us just hit the ball in the fairway. God, we don't always have to get it right. And even when you do go outside of bounds and hit it in the rough, God, you'll bring us back. But today, God, I thank you for all of those who are asking God a question. And God, what do you want me to do? God, where do I go? How do I do this? What's my next step? God, today you answer that perfect will for their lives. And I thank you for it now, Father. God, I thank you for being so good to us. Bless us as we leave, all those who are giving today. Father God, bless their generosity. Bless their obedience and tithing. And God, we thank you today for being so good to us. God, that you're big in our lives.